Hello everyone, a very good morning and thank you for joining us today, 1st of November 2021. My name is Felix Ocheng. I am your host for Markets Monday. If you're joining us for the first time, Markets Monday is a podcast that is brought to you by HISA. HISA is one of the coolest apps you need to have on your phone where you can be able to get data from various markets, starting from the NSE and also looking on to loading data from global markets coming in very soon. Last week, there's a lot of things that happened across markets, and getting on to the specific stock performances, I think it's interesting, but we've talked about Eveready week on week. Last week, we talked about Eveready looking on to the race to zero, and today we're seeing Eveready jumping in as the top gainer last week, up about 11.11%. So that's 11.11% for the week, with Eveready closing the week at 1 shilling. That is up from 0.9, where the company stocks was trading at a week earlier. An interesting bit, we had Britam. Britam was up during the week, 6.13%. And Britam closed the week at 7 shillings and 96 cents, up from 7 shillings and 50 cents where it was at. Other companies, I think we have volatile companies like Uchumi still on that bit, but Uchumi was only up by 0.01, so that's technically 1 cent for Uchumi, trading at 23 cents. That's 4.55% up. On the losing side, we also had another, I'd call it another 11.11, because we had East African Cables drop about 11.11% to close the week at 1 shilling and 28 cents. Egets was down as well at 9.09%, and Sasini, which earlier on last week was one of the top gainers, we're seeing Sasini also down about 5% for the week. Now we're still seeing a bit of a high activity on the tech sector and also on the banking sector. The banking sector literally had shares worth about 30% of last week's activity. That's about 594 million that were traded. KCB still the highest mover in that space with 393 million worth of stock traded last week. Safaricom was still the top gainer and the top mover. In last week's trading session, with Safcom literally having about 950 million worth of shares. That's an equivalent of 48.73% of the total market activity for the week. So very interesting times here. I think it's still a bit of a concern, but yeah, you know, I think it's really jumping from a point where we're looking at Safcom as a concern, but more of a catalyst. Because if other companies would not want to match, because I think there are a lot of factors that would contribute to, you know, a stock's price going to these levels. The first one would really be onto, you know, the company's share price jumping onto certain levels. It's definitely because of the fundamentals, the expectations from investors, and also onto the technical bit, because there's a lot of stuff. We've always talked about liquidity as just one of them, and everything else that I know all investors are technically looking at onto the exchange. So yes, it's a huge concern. It's something that I know we're all definitely looking at, and we'll be hoping to have more conversations so that we can see ways in which liquidity on the exchange and for other stocks, you know, for us, we'll mention here the regulators, the companies, they'll definitely be looking at ways to implement onto the space. So the local market space still a bit, I'd say still a little bit of a downturn, but I think there are a lot of opportunities. If you ask me, on the Nairobi Securities Exchange, we're still looking at a lot in terms of openings. There are a lot of companies that are trading under low valuations. And also another thing that I know you're definitely wondering is about the financials that are coming in through. We are hoping for the banking stocks to start releasing the financials, and we definitely know Safcom is supposed to be releasing the half-year results on Wednesday next week. That's on the 10th of November. So Safcom has been on the good side. They've been able to give a lot of information onto that bit, and I know that's one thing. Let me just confirm equity. because Equity Bank had also mentioned that they'll be releasing the financials, but I'm just confirming, I'm just trying to confirm to you guys the date, and I'll definitely keep you guys updated with that. Let me just confirm that, and then I'll let you guys know that before the session actually comes to a close. Now, on the financials, I know we've really, really waited for this financials bit. It's one thing that a lot of investors were waiting for, because, I mean, we've all wanted to, if you've invested in one of the volatile companies, some of the things that investors have actually really been concerned about over time has actually been on Kenya Power. And KPLC had a net profit of 1.5 billion. For in the financial year 2020-2021. One of the things that came in handy for investors who, if you are looking onto KPLC, then one of the things that actually came in handy was the cut in system losses. I really think that this actually shows just how much Kenya Power was losing in the previous financial year because of various system losses. That includes a lot of things which I would personally attribute to the previous CEO, that is Ben Gugi, because I think we saw a lot of actions when Ben and Gugi came in at the helm of KPLC in terms of his main goal was technically to reduce onto this. So I personally would want to, you know, just attribute the better, or I'd say the improved financials for Kenya Power. I think I would attribute a lot of it to him, as much as he left the company a few months ago. So I think it's about the third month without him at the helm. So yeah, would literally be interesting just to see onto how KPLC would move. So Kenya Power's net profit, that is profit after tax, was at 1.5 billion. The pre-tax profit was at 8.2 billion. It's a bit of a concern just how much the companies are paying onto tax, onto the government. So that would be an interesting bit. So that's about 216% growth year on year for the pre-tax profit compared to last year when Kenya Power actually posted a pre-tax loss of about 7.04 billion. The unit sales for the period under review, that's the financial year 2020-2021, was up 5% to about 8,171 gigahertz from 8,171 gigahertz to about gigahertz hours. Jeez, I think I should probably get some advice from an energy professional, you know. So I think that's technically one thing. That's gigahertz hours. So yeah, I know that's one thing that is literally coming in as a positive advantage for all of us, for Kenya Power. I think that was pretty much impressive, at least for me. So KPLC's gigawatt hours were up 8,571 from 8,171 that the company had posted in a week earlier. This was majorly driven by about 716,206 new customers. Can you guys imagine this level of growth where we're seeing about, I'd say, 0.7 million new connections, you know, to Kenya Power. So guys, I don't know if this is about the last mile project, which was also attributed, actually was one of the costs that actually pushed Kenya Power into losses. If you think for over the past two financial years, this has been one of the major causes. But in this case, we're seeing this is a very positive turn for Kenya Power. So definitely something that I know we're definitely going to be looking at. But all segments generally for KPLC was up about 4.8%. So this is by the commercial connections, the domestic and commercial connections by Kenya Power. Because commercial connections were up 5.1%, domestic connections were up 4.9%, and the street lighting. So wherever you are and you guys didn't have street lighting, like somewhere back in my village, and now they do, we know that they're one of the guys who contributed onto this, because street lighting was actually up by 10.2%. And so that's one thing that I think is really coming in handy, at least for Kenya Power. KPLC also had a little bit of cost management, and this was just to, you know, streamline a lot of operations for KPLC. The operating expenses for Kenya Power dropped 17% from 47.8 billion to 39.8 billion shillings, and this was after a reduction in provisions for trade and receivables for for KPLC. So in this case, we're seeing a lot of stuff by just streamlining the operations. Kenya Power had a drop of about 17% in expenses. And so I think that's one thing, because also with the expenses also coming down, finance costs were also down about 27%. This is from 12.5 billion to 9 billion. And this is due to an interest on loans, a decrease in interest on loans and overdrafts that were taken by the company on in the previous financial year. That's financial year 2019-2020. So remember earlier on we mentioned about system losses, but then how did this really come down? Over the previous financial year, system losses for Kenya Power were up, and so we're seeing this even on the first half of the year. Kenya Power system losses had risen to about 25.21%, and this was down to 22.7%. So as much as this is still probably a bit high, I'm really hoping that KPLC would probably bring these system losses to levels of about no more than 15% and even lower. But in this case, this is something that I know it's laudable for the company to have this actually on the decline. And this would really come in handy, you know. One of the things that also came in handy for Kenya Power, there had been a little bit of concerns with the company during the earlier period when the company was actually being accused of having a lot of their employees on integrity issues. KPLC had brought in something known as an advanced metering infrastructure project, which actually brought in about 80% of large power customers. So this is interesting. And Kenya Power actually, no, sorry, not 80%. But KPLC is actually targeting about 80% of large power consumers to have this the advanced metering infrastructure project within the system or within their coverage by the end of 2022. So yes, looks like when you guys are planning to have a new president next year, also remember that Kenya Power also has plans for the end of 2022. So it's not only you guys, but there's a lot. There's also been a lot of concerns and restructuring that I know we spoke about this last week on Monday when we were talking about the presidential task force that actually gave the report on Kenya Power. And we saw the cabinet secretary, Kenya's cabinet secretary for energy, say that they were looking at implementing all this and they're looking at bringing this various system losses and generally reducing the cost of electricity. One of the things that makes this a very interesting bit is, remember, when we have the cost of electricity really come down, then it would actually be good for you as the consumer, because end goal here is always to, you know, bring the cost to the lowest and then increase onto the margins, the uptake. When the cost for electricity is down, then definitely consumers will not have a problem in, you know, increasing their consumption. But when the cost of electricity is high, then there's a lot of that concern. And even for you, and take this as just on a basic analysis. When the cost of electricity is high and it's hitting onto your pocket, you know, you always want to, you know, take the least time in the shower, probably, you know, your phone, you might always want to charge your phone at the office or your workplace. There's a lot of concerns where guys are always concerned on how much am I spending on this, how much am I spending on X and Y. And that's just a basic budgeting skill. So when the cost of when the unit cost of electricity is really down, then you know you might start loosening a bit onto that concern that guys have. So it's a win-win for you as a consumer and also for the electricity supply companies and even trickling down all the way to the electricity generating companies. So we're looking onto this in the long term, and it would overall be an interesting bit. So KPLC's results, I'd say, pretty much fair. Unlike KenGen, on the other hand, I think KenGen's results were, I wouldn't say they were really disappointing, but I would say they were on the positive edge, but not just onto the levels of what a lot of analysts had expected. KenGen's net profit was down on higher tax expenses. I think this is because earlier on in the year, earlier on the previous financial years, I know there was a tax credit, and we know there were also a lot of tax incentives. Remember, there are a lot of companies that benefited from that had to benefit from last year's tax credit that the government brought down on corporate tax, because we saw even companies like Bamburi, for instance, that are listed onto the market were also on the positive edge because of this. So I think for Kenjan, it was pretty much of a challenge during the financial year. I'm just loading the results and then I'll be able to, you know, give you guys the numbers. The first thing here for Kenjan that really came in handy, for Kenjan, if you're an investor, just before you hit that sell button, know that Kenjan has declared a dividend of 30 cents per share. And so that is one thing. If you're a dividend chaser, there's an opportunity. But regardless, Kenjan's results have been down. Kenjan's results were not on to what analysts had actually expected. But generally, this is how the company performed. Revenue for the company was up about 4% to about 4.4 billion. That is from 4.4 billion in 2020 to 4.5 billion in 2021. The company attributed these revenues from technically all the other channels of generation, that is from geothermal, hydro generation, and diversification venture. Remember that Kenjan currently has some operations in Ethiopia with the Tulu Moyo project, which they've been doing, I think, from late 2019. Late 2019 when they got the contract. But the concern really now comes on to, you know, there's a lot of instability in Ethiopia this time. Yesterday, we saw one of the worst cases that we've seen, because we've seen Ethiopia, actually, we saw, not to digress a bit, but just to give you guys what's happening. We're seeing Ethiopia getting into a place where I don't know if it will be irredeemable anymore, because we're seeing the president actually telling guys, the citizens, to be ready, you know, be ready and offer your services at any level. But earlier on, I think earlier on in the day, that was on Sunday, we saw the Tigray forces and the Oromian forces say that they had seized strategic towns in Ethiopia. And this is how the Tigray forces are actually performing. They're taking very strategic towns, mostly the ones that are used, mostly the ones that serve as transport corridor for Ethiopia. And so they're looking at blocking all this all the way up from Eritrea. And so that starts from Mekele, which was the first town that the Tigray forces had captured. And now they're actually moving into other towns, you know. And this is a concern because Ethiopia is Africa's second most populous nation. And so a concern would really be if this really blows into full-scale civil war, it would actually be a concern for investors. And generally, I think for me to be a concern, because remember that Kenya's largest company by market capitalization, that's Safaricom, is actually looking on to moving on to Ethiopia. So this would actually be a concern. And so even other companies like Kenjan, which have greatly invested in Ethiopia, it would technically be a concern in this case. Kenjan's pre-tax profit was up as well, about 7% from 13.79 billion to 14.76 billion. And so this is an interesting bit for Kenjan. But I think one of the things that we also have to talk about is the profit after tax, because I know that's, you know, one of the things people would always look at is the profit after tax would be so low and then the profit before tax would be so high. Always, it's always good to consider what happens on the both on the PBT and also the PAT. And so it's an interesting bit. Just loading on to Kenjan's results. But meanwhile, as we move on to that bit, one of the things that you as an investor can probably look at is on the prices of Kenya Power, which we just talked about a few minutes ago. KPLC's jump to 30% is not really long-term, because the stock has also dropped about an additional 3%. So KPLC is currently down about, KPLC is up at 27.9%, but it's down 3% from earlier on when we started this show when KPLC was up 30%. So a lot of investors are still hopeful onto Kenya Power, but this is something that technically we'll be looking at. Kenya Power has about 1.69 million, that's about 1.7 million shares that are traded, and it's currently one of the top movers. It's actually the top move on the Nairobi Securities Exchange as of this time. We'll definitely be watching on to that. Looks like a lot of investors are technically now just looking onto the energy sector, because guys want to jump in, you know. And this is one of the things that we always, I think I would always advise you guys, never look onto. One of the things you should that shouldn't really push you is what you call the fear of missing out. So if you are out of Kenya Power, there's a high possibility that you might not get the returns that you're looking at on the short term. Mostly for guys who are looking at having this in terms of, you know, guys who are looking at opportunities in short-term investing. Jumping onto Kenya Power right now might not be a good idea, because remember, there's something that is known as market correction. And so when market correction is going to hit, and this comes into the next, probably the next like 1 or 2 weeks, when Kenya Power would probably be trading at, I think, no more than probably 1 shilling and 80 cents, or it could be flat at this price. If Kenya Power was to jump back, oh my God, it's already up. So Kenya Power is up 33%. So it's gone back to 2 shillings and 30 cents. But if you wanted to buy it right now, I think it would be a major concern, because you could be involved in a value trap. And that might end up being a little bit of a concern for you as an investor on the market, mostly if you're looking at it on short term. But if you're looking at it on long term, I think there are a lot of opportunities still available, but you need to do your own research before you can be able to make this trade or this purchase on KPLC as a stock. So that's it for the local space, I believe. I don't know if there's anything that we have left out. We've covered on most of the companies that give out their financials. I don't know if there's anything else that technically we're looking onto the exchange. But technically, to give you guys just how the market is performing, as at this time, we still have Kenya Power right there at the top, gaining onto today's gains onto the Nairobi Securities Exchange. Kakuzi is up about 7.79%. I do not know why Kakuzi is on that trend. NBV, that's Nairobi Business Ventures, looks like it has not given up onto that drop that it faced last week. NBV is up about 5.95%. In case you're wondering where you can get this data is openly available on the HISA app. You'll definitely just check onto it and, you know, buy in or sell if you probably look at your prices that have gone onto that. Trading is yet to be available on the HISA app, but we're working on bringing that up to you guys. East African Cables is extending the decline. East African Cables, which was last week's top loser with about 11.11%, is down about 6.25%. So it's a concern. If you had East African Cables on your stock on Monday last week, it's down 17%. That's one of the things that you talk about volatility on the stock exchange. Express Kenya is down about 2.5%. And your favorite company, Safaricom, is also down about 1.4%. So yes, it is a concern for investors, but technically we'll be watching onto this and see just to what would really happen. And just to see if last week's top gainers and top movers would be the same, would technically have the same overall performance as they did a week earlier. And that's it for the local space. On the global space, we're still seeing a bit of a positive activity for most of these markets. And I know most of this we had also mentioned on today's HISA newsletter. So if in case you're missing onto that bit, you definitely just want to go and check onto the performance for global markets on the HISA newsletter. But this is how the numbers were. The Dow Jones was up about 0.4%. The S&P 500 is up as well, 1.3%. The Nasdaq Composite Index is also up about 2.7%. Last week was a major concern because we saw a lot of companies release their financials. Most of them, some of them missed earnings, analyst expectations, but then we also saw some of them really jump in and provide upbeat earnings for investors. We saw one of the companies that came in and caused a lot of jittery on the market was Facebook, because Facebook, it has rebranded. So Facebook is now Meta. So and this is not your app, not the app that you use, but technically the company that you relate with. If you want to sue a company, you definitely be suing Meta. That is from 1st of December. Currently, yeah, let's just say it's official. It's just that on the trading bit, from 1st of December, Facebook is changing the ticker code from FB, which has always been the norm. Everybody's always been calling Facebook FB. And now here we see Facebook is changing that to Metaverse, which is MTVS. So yeah, we'll technically be looking on to how this would perform. But for now, Facebook has been good. I think the performance still remains technically the same. The only concern which I know a lot of investors were having was on Apple, because Apple had, first of all, Apple just lost its glory. Looks like you don't need an Apple a day to keep the doctor away, because Apple is no longer the most valuable company in terms of market capitalization in the world. That tag has now been pushed to Microsoft. So last week, Microsoft overtook Apple as the world's most valuable company in terms of market capitalization. They still remain within the same levels, about 2.4 trillion, but Microsoft is now having it at the helm at the top. And so I think this was majorly because Apple's results were pretty much below what analysts has expected. The revenue was technically flat to about $365 billion. And this is how important it is, guys. The fiscal year for Apple, the revenue was $365.8 billion. And I was looking at this from a very funny point of view. We usually have 365 and a quarter days, whatever the quarter day is. I've never really known what day is known as a quarter day, but yeah, we usually have 365 days in a year, or 364 and a quarter day. So Apple was actually making revenue of about 1 billion every day. Can you guys just imagine onto that bit? So yes, that was just something to give you, to keep your mind busy. iPhone remained the top revenue generator for the company with a total of 38.8 billion in sales versus the 41.5 billion that analysts had estimated. And so this was a little bit of a drop compared to what analysts had expected for the fiscal year for Apple that ended on 30th of September. So yes, that is really much of a concern for investors. Revenue for the Mac was flat. That is, if you have the iMac, yes, revenue was flat to about 9.2 billion. Still a little bit of, I think, a little bit of concern. So overall, Apple's results were pretty flat onto what, not to what analysts had actually expected. Consider that Apple is currently facing a lot of challenges. First of all, is the payment model, which a court had actually told Apple that developers can actually now be paid with, you know, developers can choose their mode of pay, not only Apple Pay, but guys can actually choose their various mode of pay. So you see, an example is if you wanted to pay for a service, and in most of iOS devices, that payment has to go through Apple, and Apple would charge onto the developer a certain percentage. So this is now a case where we're getting onto this, and Apple is being told that, hey, you, if somebody wanted to pay through M-Pesa, and somebody wanted to pay through MasterCard, somebody wanted to pay through Visa or any other payment platform, you know, there are a lot of other payment platforms out here. If guys wanted to, you know, probably have, if we would see integrations like probably Flutterwave, if somebody wanted to make payments through Flutterwave, then let them do that. As long as the payment reaches the merchant, you know. So that was one thing that they were told. Unlike the previous way, it's always been Apple Pay. And with Apple Pay, they're actually charging a bit higher compared to what other payment merchants would actually be looking into. So yes, that was a concern. And now we're looking at this being, that could actually hit onto Apple, but that's just a tip of the iceberg. Because remember earlier this year, in September, we actually saw Xiaomi devices actually overtake Apple devices as the most sold, phones, mobile devices globally. So yes, that was also another concern. But yes, another concern that also came in was because Microsoft has been growing. So yes, in case you're looking at this, Microsoft had some of the products like LinkedIn, for example, and also the cloud services that are being provided by Microsoft were also some of the top, I think, revenue generators for Microsoft. And so the price for Microsoft continued to rally. And then Apple, on the other hand, had its products really coming down. So yes, that was a concern. I think one of the other disappointing financials, just to highlight it for you, was Amazon. So yes, I know we've always thought Amazon, Jeff Bezos, and you know, all the rally and all the portfolio and everything else would technically be good, but looks like Amazon's results were not really good. Amazon would have actually posted a loss were it not for the Amazon Web Services, which had revenue jump about 39% to $16.1 billion. So it looks like it's a huge concern, but it's also a good thing that we're seeing Amazon Web Services, which is really, really coming in hot, I think. And so we're looking at this, the cloud services, the web services that this company is offering is having a lot of uptake. And so we just be looking at just how this would be for other companies. I think it's a good direction, you know, to see that one piece that was really, really started as not, I think it was more of, I think a pilot or a test, and it's grown up back in 2018, and it's grown up all the way to levels that it is at right now. So yes, some of the times it's good for you to take those risks if you're an entrepreneur. So yes, take that risk, but please ensure that you also have another operating arm so that you don't go all the way down when one of those brilliant ideas that you have drops down. So yes. So technically the results for all the other companies, some of them were lower than what analysts expected, like Facebook, for example. But Facebook had also mentioned what Snapchat mentioned a week earlier, where they were saying that one of the major concerns right now would be the privacy securities that privacy settings or the security settings that iOS 14 and iOS 15 currently have. And so this is really hitting onto the revenues because of ad targeting. And so that's a challenge that technically they're looking at, but let's see how they'll be able to move on to it. I think Android should bring on to some of these concerns as well. And I think Android 11 has a little bit of that, because Android 11 also gives you an opportunity to, you know, revoke some of these accesses that various apps have to monitor your activity on your phone. But that would also add on to Google, which is Android. So we'll be technically looking onto this bit. So it's an interesting space. It's technically something we all want to watch, you know, and that's just my personal concern, and just to see how this will be for these companies. But overall, for global markets, we're still seeing a bit of a positive edge. We're still seeing the Dow continue to gain, the S&P 500. This week, I know we'll be looking onto some of the top earnings for S&P 500. We'll technically be looking onto the healthcare sector. We're looking onto Moderna. We're going to look onto Pfizer, how their earnings are going to be for the next for the quarter, and how generally the Q3 was for them. Remember, a lot of economies had their citizens vaccinated. A lot of guys actually made a lot of orders. We're seeing the third shot for Moderna coming in through. And we're also looking on Pfizer getting the approval, the FDA approval, you know, to have the vaccine administered. They had a new vaccine which is supposed to be administered to the younger generation, that is children between 5 and 15. And so we'll technically be looking onto that, how that would, you know, affect the stock for this. But also outside that, some of the other interesting companies that are releasing their financials, we have... I know one of the things that we know is Uber. So yes, Uber is releasing their financials. Earlier on, Uber had said they're looking at their expectations was to jump out of a loss. In case you're wondering, yes, Uber has been posting losses for a very long time. But yes, we'll definitely be looking onto that bit as well and just see on how that would be. Airbnb is also releasing their financials. And above all, we're seeing Coinbase Global. So the crypto fanatics, Coinbase is there for you. Remember earlier on, we had other companies like Robinhood say that some of their financials had taken a hit because the performance had taken a hit because the trading on crypto had really gone down for the quarter. And so that's one thing, because that was one of their revenue generator. The challenge is maybe Coinbase and Robinhood should introduce, I think, some of the latest crypto like Shiba, Mana, still not available on Coinbase, but not available on Robinhood. We've seen a lot of guys actually petition even Robinhood to bring in the Shiba Inu coin, which has been one of the latest coins to, you know, bring in that. And that is something that we also mentioned in our newsletter today. So you might want to check onto that and also subscribe. So yes, that's it for us today here at HISA. In case you have something you'd want to comment onto this, please feel free. Go into the HISA app. There's a discussion platform that gives you an opportunity to actually share your opinion and also comment on some of these issues that we talk about during this show. It's not only onto this show that you'll get, but also the previous recorded podcasts are also available on HISA, topped up with most of your favorite content that is curated technically for you, specifically for you as an investor and as a reader out there. Thank you for joining us, and see you guys next week. Bye-bye.